Good morning. It's great to see everyone this morning. And welcome to the Brooklyn region of the New York City Church of Christ. If you are visiting with us again this morning, welcome. It's great to see you. The last 18 months, we've been having service, you know, via YouTube and the last 2 weeks via Zoom. And I'm very excited because next Sunday, God willing, we're going to be back at 88 Hanson Place in Brooklyn. It will be great to see a lot of you in person. It's going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to it. I believe it's going to be very emotional for me and to see all of you. Since my wife and I moved here from Texas 10 months ago now, we haven't seen the whole church. And so we're looking forward to seeing a lot of you face to face. Please, if you have any questions about the reopening, talk to myself or text me or Peter Martinez or Mike Facey, and we'll be very happy to answer all your questions. We're also going to be having a live streaming option when we start meeting together next week. And we got the equipment for that this week. And so we're going to be doing a test run in the next several days, make sure that we're all set. And we're also going to be having invites. This is our new invite in English and in Spanish. And so I want to encourage you to have this on your telephone and start using it to invite people to church. It's going to be a tremendous, tremendous time. Next Sunday at the welcome table, we're going to have three arm wristbands. We couldn't afford to get the plastic ones. They were very expensive. And so we got paper ones. And if you're good with hugs, put a green one on. And once we see the green, we'll come and find you and give you a big hug. If you're going to do just fist bumps, it's okay. You know, pick yellow. And then if you don't want to be given hugs and we're going to respect your choice, just pick a red one. Nobody's going to judge you. Nobody's going to give you a hard time. We'll wave to you from a distance. But it's going to be so great to see everybody next week. Please remember that no food or drinks are allowed in the building. That will continue to be enforced. We're asking that you get there early so that we can, you know, make our way into the sanctuary. Please also, we're asking you that you be patient with us. Remember, we haven't done this in 18 months. And so please be patient and let's be courteous and listen to each other. Please listen to the ushers and everything will go great, God willing, starting next Sunday. Many of us are familiar with the program CSI. You know, they have CSI in New York. They used to have CSI in Miami and Las Vegas, all this stuff. Starting next week, brothers and sisters, I want us to practice what I'm calling SSI, okay? SSI stands for smile, say hello, and introduce yourself. Smile, say hello, and introduce yourself. I want us to become a church that practices SSI. You know, when we get to church, there needs to be a big smile on your face, yes, behind that mask, okay? And let's say hello to each other. Let's say hello to people visiting and introduce yourself. People don't bite, okay? It's very, very important that we practice this, especially to people that are visiting the church, because you've heard it said that you never get a second chance to make a first impression. And so everybody that walks in needs to be welcomed and just for us to be known as a church and as a ministry that's truly warm and welcoming. You know, yesterday was the 20th anniversary of 9/11. We all remember where we were when we got the news about the terrorist attacks by Al-Qaeda. Many lives were lost in New York, at the Pentagon, and in Shanksville, Pennsylvania on that day. And 20 years ago, things changed fundamentally in the world on that day. Air travel and security would never be the same. Our lives was forever changed. Even today, as we remember the lives lost on 9/11, I want us to talk about and remind ourselves about the day our lives changed. Our lives did not change on 9/11. Our lives did not change the way the day you were born. It wasn't the day you got married. It wasn't the day you graduated from college. It was the day you and I got redeemed and got saved by the blood of Jesus. And so I've titled my lesson this morning, The Day We Got Saved. I believe this is the date we must always remember. The day we got saved was the day our names were written in the book of life. Yes, that book of life, mentioned in Revelation chapter 20 in verse 12. It says, "And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done." The Bible teaches very clearly that because we are saved, we will not experience the second death. Yolanda Guzman, Angel Haywood, Sylvia Patrick, Rachel Carr, Madison Zafire, Allison Idoho, Tamoy Fuller, your names are written in the book of life. Horacio Tamayo, Eric Matos, Steve Lenchen, Brandon Thomas, Joseph Charles Pierre, Shirley Thomas. Your names are also written in the book of life. All our names as Christians are in the book of life. You know, last year, they couldn't have the enshrinement ceremony to Cooperstown. And this week, Derek Jeter was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. And you can see a picture of Michael Jordan and Patrick Ewing and Alonzo Mourning. They attended in person. They were his friends. This guy is now in the Hall of Fame. And he has now been enshrined in Cooperstown forever. He was a 14-time All-Star, 5-time Gold Glove winner, 5-time Silver Slugger Award, 5-time World Series champion, and World Series MVP. Brothers and sisters, as awesome as this is for Jeter, we've been inducted into heaven's Hall of Fame. In John chapter 3, beginning verse 1, it says, "Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him.' Jesus replied, 'Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again.' 'How can someone be born when they are old?' Nicodemus asked. 'Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born.' Jesus answered, 'Very truly I tell you, no one can enter into the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again.'" Nicodemus was a Pharisee and a member of the Jewish ruling council. This religious leader knew Jesus was different and was from God, because he said no one could do the miraculous signs Jesus was doing if God were not with him. And I want you to notice what Jesus does here. He doesn't beat around the bush. And his first words to Nicodemus was about the kingdom of God and how to get in. You and I need to pay attention to Jesus' first words here to Nicodemus. As a matter of fact, God willing, when we start meeting in person next week, I'm going to be talking about the kingdom of God for the first several sermons. Because that's what this is all about. The day you and I got born again, we were ushered into God's kingdom. It's a very special place to be. And that's why this is the date I want us to remember. The day all our sins were washed away. The day we were ushered into God's presence, spiritually speaking. You see, in Acts chapter 17, in verse 26, it says, from one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out the appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. Get this. He says, God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. It is no accident we are alive today. None of us chose our birthdays. None of us chose our parents. We didn't choose our upbringing. We didn't even choose our nationality, let alone the color of our skin. God determined all that. And so we ask ourselves, why did God go through so much trouble? Why did he go through so much trouble saving us and bringing us into his kingdom? He says, so that men and women would seek him. And perhaps, that's a big word, and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. We must remember everything God did to put us in this position, brothers and sisters. Scripture also tells us that he chose us in him before the creation of the world. That's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. How cool is that? That before this world was created, God had you and me in mind. And at the right time, he sent people into our lives. He softened our hearts and we're able to respond to the message. You know, John 6:44 says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him, I will raise them up at the last day. And then also John chapter 6, verse 45. He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. All these passages teach that we didn't come into the kingdom of God by our own power. God was drawing us and working on us the whole time. I mean, think back to the person who reached out to you. It wasn't by accident that that man or that woman, if you were met on a bus or on the subway or maybe just on the sidewalk, they stopped you and they said hello and they introduced themselves and they invited you to church. And some of us, we gave them the runaround. When they called, they say, tell them I'm not here. It's not everybody that responded very quickly. I didn't. It took me months before I started studying the Bible. But I believed I was a Christian and I went to church every Sunday. But people were praying for me. People were praying for you. People kept on reaching out to you. People kept on loving you. And here you are today in the kingdom of God. This is the day your life changed. That is the day that you must always remember every single day. I may have shown this before, but I'll show it again. This is the plan of salvation. The plan of salvation is not complicated. We heard the gospel. That is, Jesus came into this world to die for us. That salvation is found in no one else except through Jesus. That Jesus is the only way back to the Father. That is the gospel. We heard it. And then we believed it. If not, you and I would not be seated here. We believe that message that, you know what? One day there's going to be judgment. And Jesus came into this world, so I don't have to face that judgment. And we believe that message. And then we also repented of our sins. A lot of us used to chase women. We stopped it. Some of us used to do drugs and smoke. We stopped it. Some of us used to lie. We stopped it. Some of us used to curse like a sailor, like sailors. We stopped it. I don't know why, you know, people always say cursing like a sailor, you know. They get a bad rap in my view. But anyway, we stopped cursing. We repented of our sins. There was a mind change. It was as if we were driving north and then we turned around and started going south. That's what repentance is. And then we confessed Jesus is Lord. We made the decision to become disciples of Jesus. And then we confessed that. And then we were baptized in water for the forgiveness of our sins. Brothers and sisters, this is not complicated. This is what we did. This is what the message is. That is why we go out and we talk to people about the kingdom of God. That this is the way to get in. Now, there's a lot of false teachings out today. And because of time, I'm not going to go into all of them. I'm not even going to talk about them. But they're all in the scriptures in terms of, you know what? You can tell what false teachings are. Just read your Bible. But the thing is, are you going to have the courage to do and live out the scriptures? That's the important thing. Because to me, salvation is not complicated. Now, brothers and sisters, the goal is not to just save souls, but to help people grow in their Christian walk with God so that one day they can see the face of God. After you and I got saved and we came into the kingdom, that was just the beginning. It's like now you join kindergarten. A lot of our kids are going back to school tomorrow. Some have already started this week. You know, especially if they're going to school for the first time. Some parents have been texting me saying, no, their kids are going to school for the first time tomorrow, and some started this week. And my thing to them was, take lots of pictures. Remember this time. But that's just the beginning. Those kids are going to continue to grow and grow up and go off to college and get college degrees so that they can make a living. When people get saved, when you and I got saved, that was just the beginning. The goal is to make sure that we see the face of God. And there's a lot of work to be done after somebody's baptized. Well, we need to help them grow so that they can stand on their own 2 feet spiritually. And so I'm asking you this morning, what is your goal? I will continue to talk about that next week when we see each other in person. Our goal is to help thousands of people get to heaven. For many to be able to see the face of God. Yes, it begins with salvation. And then we got to teach them to obey everything like it talks about in Matthew 28. We do this through loving them and loving God. It's not complicated. Brothers and sisters, you and I know how this story ends. Jess McDonald said, we know how this all ends. God wins. Church, we are on the winning team. All we see in this world will pass away. And that's why we can't afford to get sucked into all this stuff. Life is very short. Life is very, very short. The Bible describes life as a mist. That we're here one day and we're gone tomorrow. And so the question is, this saved life that God has now given to you and God has given to me, what kind of impact are we going to have in this world? What kind of legacy are we going to leave behind? That's the issue. God didn't create you. God didn't create me. So I just to grow up, go to college, get an education, have a family, and get married and live life and then die. That's not it. God saved me. God saved you. So that we can know him better and then we can make him known to other people. That's the day we must remember. Because when we remember how we used to be and the things that God has saved us from, it helps us go forward. It helps us realize that we are not here by accident. That God put you on this earth. God saved you for a reason. And it's not just so I attend church every week. That's not it. God saved you to transform you and I into the image of his son Jesus. And then to turn around and to help other people also get to know him. That's it. That is the date we need to remember. You know, I shared a few weeks ago that a dear brother and a dear friend passed away in the Lagos church. He was the evangelist for one of the regions in the church in Lagos. And he was laid to rest on Friday. And I got several of the pictures that were sent at the ceremony. I want us to continue to pray for his wife, Stella, his three kids. All three of them are disciples, and they're all in college in Nigeria. But I got this morning. Somebody sent this to me. And I said, you know what? I'm going to share this with the church. I want you to hear his voice. I want you to see him. Because there is no doubt in my mind that he's now in paradise. He was a dear friend, great evangelist, great preacher. I am going to miss him. And so I want you to hear your brother who has now crossed over. And I'm sure he's run into several of our friends and disciples that have crossed over. But I want you to meet your brother that you're going to see on the other side one day. His name is Okechukwu Emeka.
If you have trouble of any kind in your life, God wants you, through faith and patience, to inherit his promises. And then, so you cannot be surprised that today we have all kinds of evil in the world because people have refused to acknowledge and believe in God. Every step of our Christian life is a test for us. We should never allow ourselves to be put in a situation where we doubt God. Because the one element that is constant in the whole of creation, in the whole of the universe and the galaxy, one element that is constant is God and his word. May you not see death this year. I say, who are you to tell me I will not see death? Iru prophecy will delay. If God wants me dead this year, I'm dead. And I'm willing to face whatever the consequences are. We make the mistake, somebody dies, or we hear that somebody has died. And we see a post on Facebook or whatever, and we say, oh, rest in peace. I'm asking you, on what basis are you saying rest in peace? All I say is to console the person who is bereaved. In the book of Revelations, there will be no tears in heaven. The time to cry is now. God's grace is never far away. No matter how much we are struggling in whatever situation it is, no matter how much pain we are experiencing, obey God and you will see what he will do. What is making you weak in your faith? And I pray that each of us will strive to obey God so that we will see his grace. Because obedience leads to the evidence of God's grace in our lives. May God raise up people that will rise up to your need. All the promises of God in Christ are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, this life is very short. You know, we all decided to respond to the gospel, and it wasn't easy. Some of us decided to make God number one. All of us decided to make God number one, obviously, to make him Lord. Some of us broke off immoral relationships. Some of us renounced addictions to drugs and smoking and other stuff. Some of us had to repent of making money and being successful in life. That was our goal. Many of us stopped caring about what our friends or our family members would think about our decision to get saved. But I can tell you that none of us have any regrets about the decisions that we made to follow Jesus. You know, I didn't even tell Mike Facey what I was going to be preaching about this morning. And I don't know if you noticed, the two songs that we played earlier in the service was about salvation and about soon and very soon we're going to see God's face. I don't think that's an accident. Mike had no idea what I was going to be talking about this morning. You see, it takes courage to follow Jesus Christ. It takes guts to obey the scriptures. And so I want to ask us this morning as I conclude, 100 years from now, Where will your soul be? That's the question. In the year 2021, in just 100 years from now, every single person hearing my voice this morning will be underground. Our bodies have become part of the soil. During that time, our fate in respect to paradise or Hades would have been made known to us. Meanwhile, above the soil, our houses and our apartments that were left behind would have become homes for others or demolished for better structures. Our clothes would have become rags for others and replaced by more modern trends. Our cars will be on display as historical artifacts by others, also replaced by more modern technology. As for us, we will be far the most important, the most part never thought of about by anyone again. I'm gonna repeat that. As for us, we will be, for the most part, never thought about by anyone again. Think about it. How often do you think about your great-grandfather? How often does anyone think about their great-grandmother? Our presence here on earth today, that presence that makes me, that we make so much noise about and shed so many tears for, was preceded by countless generations before us and shall be followed by countless generations after us. Every generation that passes through this world barely finds the time to take a glance at the world before needing to bid it farewell and handing over the baton, having not fulfilled even a fraction of one's ambitions. Our lives are in reality far shorter than we imagine. In 2121, every one of us will realize from within the grave just how worthless this world actually was and how trivial those dreams were that centered on it. In 2121, every one of us will be wishing that we had dedicated our lives to great matters of God and devoted ourselves to doing good deeds, particularly those that continue to benefit us after our death. Brothers and sisters, let us remember that we are living on borrowed time. 100 years from now, the only thing that will matter is whether we are right with God. Everything in this world is temporary. We came into this world with nothing. The only thing we get to take with us is our saved soul. Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said, "You may think you can live fine without Christ, but you cannot afford to die without him." Brothers and sisters, your life is made up of two dates and a dash. Make the most of that dash between the day you were born into this world and today, and the day when God is going to call us back to come be with him. Yes, life is tough, but we have the Holy Spirit of God in us, helping us journey through this life. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, grace was free, but it doesn't mean it was cheap. You and I were bought at a cost. That cost was the cross. That was the day our sins were washed away. And that is why that is the day we must always remember. The day our names were written in the book of life. Jesus came into this world to die for us so that you and I will be able to experience the new birth and to be able to live with God forever. We're now going to participate in communion. The bread represents the body of Jesus that was broken for us on the cross. And the fruit of the vine represents the blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. After the final song, we're going to get a chance to go into breakout rooms and have some great time of fellowship. And God willing, starting next week, we'll see each other face to face and be able to have some great time of fellowship. Brothers and sisters, I want us to remember the day you got saved. The day God changed your eternity. The day when you crossed over from death to life. We're going to heaven, folks. That's the truth of the matter. We're going to heaven. And we're going to take thousands of Brooklynites with us. Let us pray. Our God who is in heaven, we thank you, Father, for this morning. We thank you, Father, for this technology that we can gather around and worship you. We thank you, Father, for the last 18 months. Father, I pray, God, that even as we come back next week in person, I pray we can continue to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for your son who died on the cross for us. Father, we look forward to beholding your face and your majesty someday. Until then, keep us faithful. Keep us on the straight and narrow path. I pray we will never fall in love with anything in this world. But that, Father, every day we'll open up our mouths and we'll talk about the good news about Jesus. Father, we thank you for this time. We ask and we pray all this in the precious and